Are you ready to think big and act bold? Then you are in the right place. This is Innovative Entrepreneurs, a podcast that will bring you the stories, insights, and tips from some of the most successful and innovative entrepreneurs in the world. I am your host, Erica Bailey, and I am here to help you start, scale, and sustain your own entrepreneurial journey. Let's get started. Our special guest today is David Wax. He is the founder and CEO of Handwritten, a company reshaping personal communication through automated handwritten notes. With a history of successful ventures, including the sale of Sellit, which is a mobile marketing agency, David's passion lies in personal communication through automated handwritten notes. Stay tuned to learn how Handywritten's custom handwriting robots are transforming communication and why David is a leader in merging technology with a personal touch. David, welcome. We finally got together. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Erica. We've been battling sickness and God knows what else. So thank you.
No, you know what? Life, right? Life happens. So I feel like we're meant to connect when we're meant to connect. And this is going to be a good conversation. 100%. So we're going to start. You are in Phoenix, Arizona. And I don't know if anybody has listened to me before, but I am from Mesa, Arizona, and then was Chandler, Arizona. So we have some mutual connections, which I found was neat. And the biggest question that I have to ask you, Arizona State University or the University of Arizona?
I'd have to say ASU because I have a number of employees from ASU. We have interns from ASU. ASU has been a great resource, and we're right down the street from there. We're based on the Tempe-Chandler border, so
ASU all the way. I actually have bricks outside of the stadium for my family. We have all of our names, everybody who went to college. My son is there now, so I'm very proud. So go Devils. So what inspired you to bring back handwritten notes? And in a tech-driven world, like, it's not something I realized was actually still cool.
Yeah. So, you know, when everybody pivots digital, and you pivot analog, you really stand out. When everybody does one thing and you do something else, you stand out. And prior to this, I had that company Sellit. It was a text message company where we would send millions of text messages a day on behalf of large brands like Abercrombie & Fitch, Toys R Us, Sam's Club, OfficeMax, very large brands. And I sold Sellit. And then I realized, okay, what am I going to do next? And at that time, and this is back in 2014, I looked around and Slack was coming out and text messages were all over the place, thanks to yours truly. Email were blowing up. And I realized that we're just kind of now stuck in a morass of digital noise. You know, the average person gets about 130 emails a day. They spend 24% of their time just managing their digital inbox. And electronic communication isn't really read anymore. It's just deleted as fast as possible. You're spending all your time just trying to wait through it, right? So I thought if we could come up with a way to make sending handwritten notes as easy as sending email, there might be something there. Because when, you know, for my mom's birthday, I'd want to send her a handwritten card, but I'd buy the card, then I wouldn't mail it, I wouldn't have a stamp, whatever. But when I'd go into my employees' offices, in my own office, I'd see any handwritten note that we'd received on display. So not only was it opened, but it was read and put on display and treasured. So I thought, you know, what if there was a way to use technology to automate that? So that's what we've been doing. We're kind of the oldest provider in the space. Now there's a number of competitors, but we are the largest provider. We have 175 robots. Each robot writes your note in pen. We put it in a envelope, which is written in pen. We put a real stamp on it. We mail it for you typically next business day. So, you know, we have 100,000 clients overall, but only about half of them ever used it. So, yeah, that's kind of what we do. We help everybody from realtors, mortgage brokers. I've got great stories from piano tutors, snack box companies, automotive dealers. I mean, it really kind of runs the gamut because handwritten notes are universally applicable. You know, it's not just something that appeals to one type of person. It really appeals to everybody. So, you know, that's kind of what we've done.
Okay. I mean, that's pretty cool, man.
175 robots. You know what I'm, you know what I'm seeing in my head is that Will Smith movie, iRobot, right? I think that's the name of it. And it's like just this room of robots sitting there. I'm assuming that's not what we're talking about
here. No, it's not nearly as exciting. They are about the size of a desktop printer. We build them ourselves. So when you come to Phoenix or Mesa, We use laser cutters and 3D printers, and we have our own circuit boards designed. And they look like little desktop printers with a conveyor belt and a writing arm. And they write out the note. They move down the conveyor. We then snap a picture of the note to make sure it looks right. And then we do the same thing with the envelope and stuff and mail. So we have so many of them because handwriting a note is a time-consuming process. Some of these notes could take 3 minutes or more to write. So we need a lot of robots to keep up. But because we build them internally, we can scale much faster than our competition. And much less expensively than our competition. So we do everything.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Okay, so good. I'm glad. I'll come see the robots and I won't be afraid that, you know, you're going to take over the world here. Because it kind of sounds like you're already doing it.
Although we do have a big neon sign at the entrance that says, all hail the robots, just in case, you know, the robots do take over. We want to prove that we'll be nice. I don't know if you're a Simpsons fan, but there was an episode where Homer goes into outer space and he's being videoed and he opens up an ant farm, and then an ant flies out of the ant farm and floats around in space. And on the camera that he's being videoed for the news, the ant gets right in front of the camera, and it looks huge because it's right in front of the camera. And the newscaster cuts to, we are prepared for our new ant overlords. And that's why we have the all hail the robot sign, is just because we're prepared for a new overlord.
Gosh, that is adorable. Okay, so you're talking about like these notes from, you know, real estate, or, you know, I work with a lot of pharmaceutical industries, and, you know, like they send out Christmas cards and gifts and all that jazz. I can imagine that you're like writing from, you know, from their signature, their writing, right? So the CEO kind of writes the message, and then you transfer the message from that onto the paper, pretty much, right?
So if the CEO wants to replicate his handwriting style, he can do that. We offer 30 some odd handwriting styles, I think 35, publicly available. So anybody can use any of those. And those have been kind of time tested. However, we have hundreds of private styles that are available just to celebrities, football stars, social media celebrities, CEOs, whatever. And they can have their own handwriting, but they type the note and then we write it in their style. That way it's scalable, because if they were just had to write every note out on that iPad or something, what's the time savings really? So they type the note, we can bulk upload spreadsheets, do thousands, tens of thousands at a time. Then we can replicate their signature too, exactly. So loopy and hearts and peace signs or whatever. You can put that at the bottom. And then we send it on its way. So it's you know, a lot of what we do ties into third-party systems, whether it's their CRM system, or their HRMS system, if they're sending notes to employees, or their dealer management system, if they're a car dealer. We tie into these systems so that it's fully automated, because having a website where people go to and type out their name is fine, but they'll stop doing it 2 weeks later, you know? So we like to work with them to fully automate.
Okay. So if I wanted to buy a card that I write and send it to my aunt, right? I don't want to do it. Is that possible as just an individual, or do you only work on that larger scale, big business?
No, minimum order size is one. So you could just order a website. We have a number of cards for you to choose from, or you can, for no additional charge, click the card customizer, upload imagery of your own, and then write on that.
Okay.
So you can design your own card. It's then just like any other card in the system to use for automation or one-off notes. And then we can write on that. And we run our own full digital press here. So it's full bleed, you know, high quality, thick cardstock cards that we run.
Yeah. So it's the quality and the service. It sounds like you've got both down there. Wow. I can't wait. I'm going to come and like, this is going to be cool. Okay. So why did you choose to be an entrepreneur? Like, where did that start and what was your why?
So my why has changed, but originally I started my first real company, my first LLC in high school. I started a computer company. We built and sold computers.
In high school?
And that actually, in high school, yeah, it ended up being more successful than I thought. We had to shut it down. It was a scam to get into college. I thought if I started a company, that'd be great for the resume, but it ended up being pretty successful. So that was my initial why, and then obviously making money was a why. Nowadays, it's freedom, 100%. You know, having control over your own calendar, although these days, I don't feel like I have any control. But my whys these days are mentoring and growing leaders. When I sold my last company, it was very gratifying to know that I had taken people like this young lady, Angie. She was a yoga instructor before being at Sell It. And I turned her into an all-star account manager. Okay. And when the company sold, I gave her a big check. And she started crying. And she said, it's not because of the check. It's because of what you did for me personally. And I've had a number of those experiences. And I really enjoy that. I really enjoy growing people. You know, here at Handwritten, we have a number of kind of low-end quality assurance people that stuff cards and envelopes.
Okay. We mean your 175 robots don't do that? Good. Hail the robots.
We have a very large, very expensive envelope stuffing machine, but we still have people.
Hey.
Until that goes into full effect, stuffing envelopes. One of the women we had here, ironically, also named Angie, she was an envelope stuffer, and I went to pay her, and I said, okay, I need your direct deposit information. She says, oh, I don't have a bank account. And I said, why? You know, and she couldn't give me a good reason. And there are a lot of people mm-hmm. in that role that don't have a bank account. I said, well, can't work here. You need a bank account. I'm not writing paper checks. Leave here now, go get a bank account, come back. And, you know, having that financial literacy or whatever, of just starting to save. So then smash cut a year later, she said, David, before working here, I was poor and I didn't have a bank account. Now I have money in the bank and I just bought a new TV. And, you know, we had changed her life. And she was crying when she came to my office to tell me that, you know. And being able to impact people like that, it means a lot. You know, it really does mean a lot. And I have a guy here, he's my head of engineering. He's brilliant. And being able to watch him grow and love what he does and make an impact is just super cool. I mean, these people do stuff I could never do. So it's been very gratifying.
How many employees do you have other than the 175? Do the robots have names?
Yeah, the names are really exciting. They're IP addresses. So it's like, you know, no, we've got about 35 employees right now. It's kind of fluctuated. We're actually down a little bit from last year intentionally. Yeah. So, yeah. And, you know, over the holidays, we scale up with some temp workers, which I don't love.
So you kind of talked about your management skills or what, you know, what your why was. But talk to me a little bit more. Like, you have 35 employees. How do you run your business with your employees? Like, what is your management strategy? I guess would be the way I can say that.
We have four core principles. Okay. We do something called EOS, which is the traction method. The book is called Traction. I recommend it. The author of the book's name is Gino Wickman. And would I say traction is the best method for running a company? No, but it is a method. And having a process, any process is better than no process. We use the traction method or the EOS method. Entrepreneurs Operating System is what EOS stands for. And the core values of Handwritten are number one, open company, no BS. So I share the good news with everybody and I also share the bad news. There was a period in May of last year when I didn't know if we were going to be able to make it.
I've been there and I have to tell my employees, hey, guys, this is where we are. Because I interrupted you, I apologize. I feel like if they know the good and the bad, they are invested in the business. And so they care about it because you were authentic and willing to share that information with them. So I think that's phenomenal. Thank you for letting me interrupt you.
So Open Company, No BS. The next one is Play as a Team. So play, comma, as a team, because we want everybody to have fun at work, and we mean it. So that's number two. Number three is focus on the customer, which is really number one. And number four is be the change you seek, which is a fancy way for saying figure it out. Figure it out. So, you know, we have a lot of people that are like, oh, you know, if only somebody would give me leads for sales. Mm-hmm. And I say, go get those leads. If there's a list you need to buy, let me know. We'll buy it for you. But don't, you know, be the change you seek. So try to find the processes and procedures that work. That's not to say everybody should have different processes and procedures. We have the handwritten way and all that. But, you know, we just try to run the company authentically, to your point. You know, we have team-wide meetings every 2 weeks. They always throw in some stupid video gag in there. You know, we try to keep it fun and light. So I think people like it here for the most part. You know, I'm a moody entrepreneur sometimes, so.
It is what it is, man. We got a lot on our shoulders. I mean, it's okay to be cranky as long as you recognize it and, communicate back that, oops, I was a butthead. I'm sorry.
This episode is brought to you by CWG Marketing and Design Studio,
a full-service advertising, marketing, and web design agency that specializes in bringing you big results. Visit us at cwgdigital.com for your marketing needs.
Yeah, so we do our best, and we were very transparent, and it's a very friendly non-corporate environment, for better or worse. So I'm really happy to come to work.
That is amazing. Yep. If you don't love what you do, you shouldn't be doing it.
100%.
That is cool. I'm assuming you love coming to work, not only because you love what you do, but you're surrounded by a great tribe of people who believe in what you're creating. So that's phenomenal.
You know, and it's across the board, you know, from the guy that runs the digital press to the person that stuffs the envelope to the guy that builds the robots. I mean, they're all great people, and I'm lucky to have them on the team, and they seem very, very happy to be here, hopefully. So maybe they're kissing my butt or something, but they seem happy. So I'm happy
about that's good. That's good. That's what matters. Okay. Yeah. So do you see a role in this personal communication, like, evolving over the next few years? And what do you think is crucial in this industry?
You know, as people start using things like Sales Loft, Sales Reply, Reply.io, PersistIQ, these email platforms where it's automatically sending an email from Erica Bailey, not from your company, not like a MailChimp, but it looks like it's coming from you. And then if they don't respond, you automatically follow up with them 4 days later, where they just bring in this to the top of your inbox, and then another one. And basically it's spam, because nobody ever opted for this. And yeah, it's not enough to delete it. You have to reply, not interested, stop, cease, because the system only stops if you reply. Because otherwise you get a just bring in this to the top of your inbox message.
I have like six of those in my inbox right now. Okay.
So I think as that grows, and as the digital inbox gets more and more crowded, you know, the least used inbox is the one at the end of your driveway. You know, people are sending handwritten notes, and I mean, they're doing print junk mail type stuff, but that's a different thing altogether. So I think people are seeking authenticity, because even if you send them the most authentic email possible, they're going to question it. They're going to say, wait a second. They inserted my name. They inserted the last time I purchased a product. They inserted the product name. This thing could have been automated anyway. You know?
Absolutely.
But if you send them a handwritten note, at least it stands out. They probably won't assume it's automated. Or if it's actually handwritten, all the better, it'll be automated. So I think people are really craving authentic connections, and they know that email is just
fit anymore. Not. Yeah. We actually just did what I call a sofa-sode with my videographer. His name is Spencer Rich. And so we were talking about authenticity and how important and crucial it is nowadays to have that authenticity. Nobody wants to talk to the robots, right? They want the robots to work for them. They don't want it. I don't want that stuff in my mail. Yeah. It just, I don't. That brings me no value. I'm not reading what they're sending.
So yes, handwritten notes cost more, but they also have way higher response rates and higher and 7 times the ROI. So we are seeing some pretty staggering responses. We have a piano tuner in Pittsburgh. He comes to your house, tunes your piano. Your piano only needs to be tuned once a year. So he's not in your house again for another year, but he automatically sends you a handwritten note after tuning every piano. And the note says, thanks for having me in your house. When he shows up at your house a year later, that handwritten note is often standing up on the piano. So not only is it open, not only is it read, it's on display on your most prized possession in the fancy room of your house, as my parents would call it. And, you know, you can't buy that real estate. You can't, you know, if you're a marketer, you can't buy the piano top, you know, but a handwritten note.
Or the fireplace mantle, right? Right. 100%. Or on the bulletin, you know, the pegboards, like I can see. Absolutely. It's so much more personal and authentic. And I can see why larger businesses, any businesses, but the larger corporate businesses are going this way, because they are obviously seeing that these email, you know, they're either going into spam or they're not, they're just not getting the replies and conversions that they were, you know, before. So they have to think, you know, something outside of the box, which you then provided.
Yeah, we work with a number of nonprofits, and it's taking more and more emails to solicit, to get a donation now. But, and, you know, so now emails are always going to be cheaper. So I'm not saying don't send an email, but you're kind of fatiguing. You run the risk of fatiguing your tribe, you know, if you're constantly sending email after email after email. So it's, you know, I think, as is anything, whether it's a text message or a handwritten note, or you have to know when to use them and how to incorporate all of them in a cohesive marketing strategy. And we try to help with that
too. That is cool. That is cool. I was just thinking, as you said that, you know, emails are cheaper. You know, I believe that you need small pieces of everything to create the whole picture, right? And so, yeah, you need emails, you need text messages, you need to put people in flows, you need to have a, you know, top of the funnel. But I did not think about this part. And this is why I am very interested in having you on here, because I think a lot of people need to understand that this is out here. Small businesses could probably benefit from this just as much as the large corporate ones can.
Well, yeah, I mean, that piano tuner, you know, and all the realtors we work with and mortgage brokers, and, you know, it really runs the gamut. And we have tools to help anybody, you know, whether you want to automate your birthday cards so that people always get a birthday card 2 weeks before their birthday or their anniversary.
Yes. I am now your next client.
So we can help everybody with that. So yeah, from small business all the way up to Fortune 100.
That is super cool. I have a lab in my office right now, everybody. So if you hear the squeaking, deal with it or change the channel.
Cute.
So what challenges do you face? I mean, you built this and then competition came, right? Like, you were the first player in the industry.
Not the very first. It was funny. I came up with the idea, and then I had to work for the new owners of Sellit, the last company for a while. And in that time, another company sprouted up. So it's interesting how once it's in the ethos, but that company's gone now and we survived. So we're the longest running company. You know, we were just having a meeting talking about competition. You know, one of our competitors is trying to undercut us on price, but they've been stuck at 4 employees for the past several years, or 5 employees. And when you call, the CEO answers the phone. You know, if you're sending out hundreds of thousands of notes or 10,000 notes, do you really want the CEO to answer the phone, or do you want a structured company there to back
somebody I can depend on?
It's just not scalable. This industry is very difficult because it's a combination of technology, software, hardware. It's been a very challenging, I wouldn't recommend this business for anybody. That said, we, you know, now that we're kind of at that scale, we can do it. But the problem is, we have a lot of competitors that claim to be there. They're not there. We had one competitor that focused on the real estate space, took $20 million in funding. We've taken $0. They grew a nice little presence for themselves, then went out of business. So it's a hard business. And then, building robots to better send notes faster with less touch points. You know, we're talking about that automated stuffing machine now. That's been very important. And using machine vision to QA notes has been very important. So it's about like just speeding up the entire system soup to nuts. It's been challenging. And then on top of that, we have to integrate with all our clients' programs. Yeah. So if you're a nonprofit, we integrate with your donor management system. And if you're a car dealer, we integrate with your dealer management system and just making sure we're everywhere the customer wants to be. So it's been technologically challenging.
Okay. All right. Well, I would think so, because what you're offering is, it's like old school love with, you know, new technology and trying to figure out how to merge both of that so that you have the most product, you know, you have the best productivity possible while employing people and providing this great atmosphere. So I can imagine that it was, you know, challenging, or probably still is challenging, because things are changing every day.
Yeah. People aspect is also challenging, just like remote employees. It's hard for me to deal with remote employees because, you know, you try to get your point across and you got to send five times as many Teams or Slack messages as you know, just having them next to you in their office and being able to point at something and say, do this, not that, do this, not that. So that's been difficult to attracting and retaining good client, good talent, though, is hard. So you have to make those allowances for, you know, remote work days and all that stuff. So it's a very challenging environment. I don't know if you've seen it since COVID, but post-COVID, it's a lot harder to retain people than prior. Yes. So it's just been a struggle.
It's been a struggle. Okay. So you had mentioned, like, you're able to track and see, you know, opens and conversion. Well, like you're saying 27% was your
27 times greater response rate. So we have a dealership, a car dealership. They used to send out printed letters inviting people for a test drive or a trade in, trade up. And then they did the same offers with handwritten notes, and they'd get 27 times, so 2700% better response from that than the print, because it seems so personal and shorter too. You know, you're not going to write as much as you.
Yeah, and it's not going to be this long envelope that's probably some, you know, somebody don't want to hear from. You know, that I just look and say, nope, I'm not opening that.
So, and then people can include QR codes for tracking.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. It's how are you tracking those metrics? But, you
know, yeah, the problem with QR codes, not everybody likes QR codes. So, you know, a lot more people might respond to it, but not do the QR code method. Maybe they just go straight to your website or call you or whatever. But it is certainly one way to help track.
Okay. So you track your metrics based on the clients, what works for them. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Like we work with a bespoke suit manufacturer out of Canada. And when they use us to send coupon codes, they say they see about a 16% redemption rate of a coupon code versus like a 3-4% rate. So, yeah, I mean, it's certainly...
Well, if you understand your audience or your buyer persona or your avatar, whatever you want to call it, then you understand how they're going to best respond. You know, new age technology, QR codes, you're probably looking at, you know, younger ages, younger shoppers, 20s, 30s. But when you have, you know, a product that is meant for the older generation, they don't necessarily know how to use a QR code. They're used to something different. So having that coupon code is comfortable for them. I think that's probably why that responsive rate is so much higher. They are being authentic and understanding who those buyer personas are. That's what I'm understanding or hearing from this.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And, you know, people with pushback say, well, aren't they going to know it's not actually handwritten? And I say, you know, well, number one, I'm pushing actual handwritten notes, not our service. Our service will automate it for you. But if somebody does think it's automated and knows it's automated, I ask you to think about, you know, when you get a Christmas card from the president, millions of people get Christmas cards from the president. And do you think he sits down and signs millions of Christmas cards?
No,
of course not. Those are all printed, but they're still put on them on the mantle. Or think back to the 1960s, when you'd write into the CEO of IBM or whatever, Xerox, whatever big companies were there, and you get a note back from the CEO. Do you think the CEO would actually?
No, it's the assistant.
it was the assistant.
So what is your company's like go-to marketing strategy? And we're not trying to give any secrets away, obviously, but you know, what do you do to grab customers or to, you know, to bring new business into your
Yeah. So when we started, we did primarily SEM,
yeah.
search engine marketing. So we'd buy Google ads. And we worked on SEO, getting to the top of the Google list, organic listings without being in the ad category. Back in May of this year, we hit a crunch in revenue and we completely stopped doing Google ads and actually all online advertising because we were spending about $20,000 a month just on Google ads. And then you add Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter or whatever. So we took those funds and now we use that to go to trade shows. We like to get in front of the buyer. And the most important part of the trade show is getting the attendee list, because with that attendee list, we can send them a handwritten note in advance, call them and say, did you get our handwritten note? And that's kind of how we
Brilliant. Brilliant. Hey, you know what? Sometimes you got to mix things up, right?
I mean, if you Google handwritten notes, we're the number one response, but above us, we're the number one actual, but above us are like five Google ads. And for me to have to pay to compete with those Yahoos, it's just, it gets
awesome. And I think, I mean, yes, Google ads work. I mean, there's been, you know, it's proven methods, but me personally, I scroll past those three, right? And then I look at the top one. I look at those reviews. You know, if it's a business that's local to me, I'll see if there's Google reviews. You know, that's what I look at because, again, I want authenticity. And if you're up front on the top and it's organic, now, not everybody knows that, but I know that. And so, you know, that's where I find the most value when I'm looking for services like that. But it, you know, it sounds like the big companies, that's where your big business is. So being in the trade shows, it's where you're going to be seen, and it's smart. It's a great pivot. Like, I would love to hear, you know, how that works out for you, because I have a feeling it's going to be well more worth than the $20,000 you were spending just on ads.
Yeah. And if we just take that $20,000 and spend it on, you know, a trade show or two a month, I think we'll, because the problem is you don't know who's clicking your Google ad. And oftentimes it's some very small realtor or individual. And, you know, the only way we make money is at scale. So we need big people to be clicking them. And that's hard to find. So, you know, the cost per acquisition of each of those clients is, you know, it's $5 a click or $10 a click. How many of those people are then going to become clients? One out of five. So $25 to $50
a
click. So that's kind of what we're doing. We're now talking about affiliate networks through AWIN and some of these platforms. I'll let you know how that goes. We are just starting. And unfortunately, our platform is very custom, which is great for the end user and the product, but it's very hard to integrate things into from like, you know, these plug and play affiliate networks. It just doesn't work because we're bottoms up.
And if we're talking about, you know, like the Salesforce and the HubSpots and all that stuff, you have to have an API to tie it into. And if you have these smaller, you know, or CRMs or CMSs or, you know, they don't necessarily have an API that you can pull into. I'm assuming that's what you're talking about. Am I right?
Well, so our website for our e-commerce to buy from handwritten, we don't really, it's not like Shopify, you know, it's custom because so much about what we do is custom. So for us to integrate an affiliate shop into us is hard. For us to offer our services via API is easy. We have APIs, but that doesn't work with affiliate networks or third-party tracking systems or anything like that. So we're starting to play with affiliate networks, but really, you know, just trying to do feet on the street type marketing and get people calling, dialing for dollars.
Ooh, I love this under your business, request free writing samples. What a way to grab customers' information.
That's where
top of the funnel right there, baby. That is brilliant. And I love your website, man. This is cool. Like, I could sit on here and just watch and be like, all right, I'm on here for like 3 minutes. I'm buying. You know what I mean? Like, this is cool. Wow.
And then, you know, I recommend if anybody wants to use our service, please visit handwritten.com, click business at the top and request free samples. You'll see for yourself how good it looks.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I'll make sure that we put the links, in the show notes. And then when we pass, you know, put it out on YouTube and everything, because people need to see this. Okay. Cards start at $325. Most are available for $375 plus postage. I can't even buy a card in the back.
Exactly. And then in volume, I mean, if you're sending thousands of cards, it goes way down. If you click the pricing tab, you'll see all that. But starting price is typically around $3.
I can't even buy a card for that. And then I have to go to the store and pick out a card. And then I have to put the envelope and address it and find a stamp and then find a mailbox, because my mailbox person doesn't take it out of the mailbox. So I have to find the USPS or, nobody gets cards from me anymore, but I would love to have this, especially like for parents and, you know, nieces and nephews, to make sure that I don't forget. My next question for you is there anything else that they can add into it? Like, I'm sending a card to my mom and I want to send a gift card. Is that something that you can do or looking into doing?
Yes. So we used to have Visa cards, but due to fraud, we got rid of that. So we offer Amazon and Starbucks and some restaurants, and you can add all those at the bottom of the screen on the home screen. You should see where it shows gift.
I'm looking now. That is perfect. Yeah. Like, you have a customer for life right now, and I really think anybody who listens to this, you got to check this website out, because this is cool. Like, what you are doing is phenomenal.
And if you want to even include your own business card, you can send them to us and we can insert those for business clients. You have to prepay for a couple hundred.
I had no idea, honestly, before I started talking to you that this was available. And I am just, my mind is blown. Like, this was a brilliant idea, and how you are scaling, now you're growing, the value that you are offering, I have no doubt. No doubt you'll be selling this company for lots of money.
It's, you know, like anything else, it's a labor of love, and it's hard, but it's fun to see. Like, I was at a New Year's party a few days ago, and I met somebody there. He was a realtor. I asked what he did. He said he's a realtor. He asked me what I did. I said I did handwritten notes. He goes, oh, yeah, he was a company that does that. And I said, who? And he said, handwritten. I said, well, there you go. I'm that company. So it's really cool to meet clients and cross verticals.
You know, that is really cool. Oh, my gosh. That is amazing. Okay. So where are you trying to go with this? Like, what's your next step? What do you think you can do that will provide additional value? I mean, you're already kicking butt here, but, you know, what's your next step?
We're just trying to automate more of the back end to get orders out even faster and maybe drive our costs down a little bit so we can offer it for less on the website. It's just a struggle there to do that. Maybe add QR codes where you could add trackable QR codes to the notes. So I'll know exactly when Erica Bailey versus Joe Smith scans the card. We're trying to get into that type of stuff. But for the most part, the service is the end user service. I mean, it's always... there's things adding and I can't talk about it, but QR codes are probably the big one.
Yeah. We don't want to give any trade secrets away. I guess. Okay. So what are some of the key lessons that you have learned through your entrepreneurship?
So my favorite quote of all time is when I was in college, I brought speakers to campus. So we brought Madeleine Albright and Dr. Ruth Westheimer, and we brought Conan O'Brien. And this was just as Conan O'Brien was starting out. He had just gotten The Late Show. And his advice to us was always get in over your head. And that, you know, 25 years later or more, I'm still thinking about that. Always get in over your head. So, because if you don't get in over your head, you can't grow. You can't stretch yourself and grow. And that's, it's weird where one quote stands out for, you know, for so long, but that's always get in over your head is the big one.
Yeah, that one's a good one. For me, it's always the one that I think about is get comfortable with being uncomfortable, right? Like, if you want to grow and come up with ideas, you got to jump, right? You jump in and you may have a black hole that you're jumping into, but at the other end, you have accomplished something. You have gotten past your fear of whatever it is, right? And then you just learn to be uncomfortable. Like, a business owner, things happen all the time. And it's like, but I want to do it. You know what I mean? That's it. It's jump right in. That's one that, that I always go back to. And live life by design, not default. So, you know,
that's a good one.
Yeah, my development coach or business coach says that all the time. So what advice would you give to somebody who is wanting to be a business owner? I mean, you started in high school.
I would say there's no better day to start than today, because tomorrow and the next day, you're just getting more responsibilities, whether, you know, you're single now and then you get married and then you have responsibilities there, or you're married now, but you don't have kids. So, or you've got kids, but you don't have them going to college yet. So it's responsibility is always growing. So it's always best to start the business right away. So I would just say get going. Also, I think a lot of people get stuck in analysis, you know, hemming and hawing. Oh, should I do it now or should I wait? And I think, you know, just start, whether, you know, that's a small start, you know, do something more than analyze. You know, so I would just say, you know, get some action, build that momentum and start today, because it's only going to get harder as you get older. And then you're going to get to my age and you're going to be too tired to do it again. You know what I mean? So, you know, do it now.
I feel you. Okay. So this is my favorite question. And I think it's one of the reasons that I started this whole thing. Who do you feel has been the most innovative entrepreneur or somebody who has impacted you the most during your lifetime or before? Who would you say?
I would say Edwin Land. Edwin Land is the inventor and founder of Polaroid, the old camera company. And Edwin Land completely changed how people had photos done. He also made it easy and quick, you know, not just the development, that's the change you made, but he also changed how people thought about photos, that you could quickly take them and you know, additionally, Edwin Land was the first Steve Jobs. He was the guy that would get up there on stage and present his latest, greatest invention. And Steve Jobs kind of stole that from him. And now Elon Musk is stealing it from Steve Jobs, et cetera. But that showmanship, that's kind of what Edwin Land started with. So he's kind of an interesting character people don't know about.
Yeah, I'm reading about him right now. He is an interesting character. I'll have to take some more time on this. You know, nobody has said this name before. I mean, I hear a lot of Steve Jobs and, you know, all the, you know, Elon Musk, which, hey, they are great innovators. Like, they have come up with some cool stuff. But this changed our entire way of our world.
Well, yeah, he really influenced entrepreneurs too. Nowadays, the entrepreneur or kind of
thought leader
I listen to is Scott Galloway, who has two podcasts. He's got the Prof G Pod. Scott Galloway was started a consulting firm. He started a company called Red Envelope. And now he's a professor at NYU. He's very, very wealthy now. And then he also has another podcast with a woman named Kara Swisher called Pivot. Mm-hmm. And he does a lot of talking about technology, but also business and politics. And I find Kara to be a little bit much, kind of reactionary. But I find Scott to be very measured and thoughtful. And I appreciate his measured, thoughtful approach. So I'm a big fan of Scott.
I am like totally checking these things out. I love this. Thank you for sharing these ones with
me. Yeah, listen to Pivot, and you'll it's a very good podcast, and you'll kind of hear both sides, the reactionary Kara Swisher and that kind of more measured, calm Scott.
Wonderful. Okay, so we've got the Traction book. you said by Gino Wickman. Yep. Is that right? Okay.
Correct.
And then check out Scott Galloway. So we'll make sure that, those are in the show notes as well, because I mean, why not learn from others, right? I have no problem sharing somebody else's link so that they can learn. All right. So what is the best way, or how can people find you?
Please visit handwritten.com, HANDWRYTTEN. And at the bottom of the page, you'll find our Facebook, our X, our Insta, and all that stuff. We do a lot on YouTube. There's a number of, like, you'll see my face all over YouTube, on our YouTube channel, doing tutorials for features or industries or whatever. That's really the best way. And then if you want to get in touch with me directly, just look me up on LinkedIn. I'm David, handwritten LinkedIn.
Awesome. Awesome. You guys got to find out. No joke. This is cool. This is cool. Well, you know what, Damon? I am just blessed and grateful that you joined me today. You've inspired me. I kind of want to take some leaps after I've talked to you and just go in on some stuff. So thank you for helping me make some decisions without even knowing it. And I can't wait. I will reach out when I'm in Arizona. And then I would love to hear, like I said, please come back to me. I want to know how, you know, these changes in your marketing strategy, how they impacted. I have a feeling you're going to do a great job. I really do.
Well, thank you so much, Erica. Thanks for finding time and interest for having me on. And best of luck with the travel here. And hopefully I'll
meet you. Yeah, well, okay. Thank you, everybody.
Wow, what a great episode. I hope you had as much fun as I did. If you want more of this goodness, make sure you subscribe so that you get notifications for future podcasts. And if you found value from this, please share it with others. You can visit our website at cwgdigital.com. This is Erica Bailey. I am your host, and I will see you next time.
This episode is brought to you by CWG Marketing and Design Studio, a full-service advertising, marketing, and web design agency that specializes in bringing you big results. Visit us at cwgdigital.com for your marketing needs.